Vandeham Sri Guru Shriyatah Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savad Hutang Bharatana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So on this occasion of the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we can be especially reminded of his glories, which also helps to remind us of how puny and insignificant we are. By practicing devotional service, by the mercy of the acharyas, we come to a position which is clearly better than that of the common people. There's a new political party in India, the Aam Aadmi Party. I think it was a stupid title because it immediately alienates all the non-Hindi speakers, the South Indians, Tamils especially. They don't want anything Hindi. So devotees, they are not Aam Aadmi. Aam Aadmi means just common folk, but they are all Mahajana. Great personalities. Mahajana also has another meaning in Indian languages. A moneylender, at least in Bengali it means that. Does it mean that in Hindi also? Not such a good person. Usually the usury it's called in English. It means extracting exorbitant interest. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the many qualifications by which we understand him to be an outstanding acharya is himself, in composing this song that we just sung, considering himself very small and tiny. We are celebrating the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Why should we celebrate the disappearance? Well, that's called Vaikuntha Vijay, ascent to the spiritual world. So it's an occasion of rejoicing. It's an occasion of lamentation and rejoicing. We don't feel the lamentation in the way that direct disciples felt the lamentation, because for us, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is historically or in time a somewhat removed figure. So we didn't personally talk with him, interact with him. We don't know him personally, in the usual sense of the term. So we don't experience the sense of separation from his personal presence, because we never experience that in this life. So we're celebrating the disappearance of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And in this song, he has listed the main devotees in the parampara, and they're all outstanding personalities who we can hardly imagine what is their greatness, what is the glory of the Vaishnavas, that they can capture Krishna in their heart, about whom Krishna says, Aham Bhakta Paradhino Nahi Aswatantra Ivadvija. Krishna says, I am under the control of my devotees. I'm not independent. That Vyasadeva, he said, I'm independent. Well, I'm telling you directly. I am dependent. I'm not independent. He's independent from everything else, but he's not totally independent. This is Bhakti Siddhanta. This is the proper conception of God, of the Supreme Absolute. He's a person. The person means he interacts with others. That means there cannot be full independence. If there's interaction, there must be some recognition of others. Complete independence without concern for others means that one will be despotic and mistreat them. If we're going to talk of love of God, then means there cannot be total independence. Love means it's a two-way street. It cannot be simply sitting on a high pedestal and loving. That love will not be very rich. So the richness of love, which is the special contribution of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Other sampradayas, they have something like that, but not developed to the level of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, either in terms of rasa and bhajan, or in terms of theology. So these are all the gifts of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, to take all these points and magnify them. This is all the great acharyas. They've all brought out these points in various ways and magnified them. So these are great persons. Just by remembering their names, we can understand how small we are. We may see, actually, we're better than others. If we are to be, of course, humility, one side is humility. On the other hand, we are in a position, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and all the acharyas, we are in a position that is better. But then we should always remember that we've come to this position by their mercy. And in relationship to them, we are very, very small. It's very important to remember, especially in India, where there's still many people, they respect devotees for being devotees. In other countries, they don't care at all. They don't care if you're a devotee of Krishna. At the best, they might tolerate you. They don't give any respect for that. So it's easy to become puffed up. So on that note, I want to read this one poem of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote several, quite a lot of poems actually, but most of them were within the corpus of other works, just like his poetic introduction to Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, and in various works he put his own poetry, which is connected with the book, in Upadeshamrita, I guess. So poetry being what it is, it's often, the very nature of poetry is to be somewhat subtle. Parokshavada rishayo parokshang chamama priya, Krishna says. In Bhagavatam, we find in his teachings to Uddhava that the rishis speak indirectly, and that's also, that kind of speaking is also very dear to me. So there's direct and indirect. When Krishna says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, Matang Saravang Pravartate. I'm the source of everything. Everything comes from me. We don't have to understand that indirectly. It's a clear, straightforward statement. Krishna didn't speak. That's a great gift of the Gita, that Krishna didn't speak in riddles to Arjuna. The Gita Upanishad, it gives all the essence of the Upanishads. Whereas often in the Upanishads, it may be difficult to understand the essence. We don't find Krishna spoken about much in what are called the main Upanishads, the 10 or 11, some say 10, some say 11, main Upanishads. We don't find Krishna directly spoken about. We'll find Brahma. Everything, Brahma is that from which everything comes, into which everything exists, in which everything enters. And then again it says, Ananda is that from which everything comes, in which everything exists, in which everything enters. So that's Krishna, but it's not clearly delineated. And then we find also Tattvamasi. There's how many, probably millions of hours have gone and arguing over these three words between various pundits. Tattvamasi, what does it mean? It means Krishna, we are the servant of Krishna. But if we take the direct meaning, it looks to say that we are Krishna. So, Upanishads are often indirect, but Gita Upanishad is direct. Make a note of that. That's a good point. Tell me afterward. So, poetry tends to be somewhat obscure, which is different from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's prose. He mostly wrote in prose. And although his style is legendarily difficult, one thing it's not is unclear. It's very clear. Difficult to misinterpret. It's absolutely point by point clear. Clear if you can understand it. That means there's the linguistic style is not obscure, but it is very high level of vocabulary that he uses. And of course it's technical. A lot of it is technical because we're dealing with a specific area, a specific subject. So I'm going to read one poem of his, which was composed in 1920. So that was shortly after the founding of Sri Chaitanya Martin Mayapur. That was just when his mission was beginning to unfold. He'd taken the position as a sannyasi, as a preacher. Doing so was an act of, practically an act of opposition to all that was going on in the Gaudiya world at the time. Where, one thing we have to understand is that it was a very, the whole Gaudiya Vaishnava world was very different at that time. And one reason it's different now is because of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He made it different. And our whole approach to Krishna consciousness, I mean, the fact that we are here sitting and discussing this is because he took that approach. He brought Krishna consciousness to the world, and especially through Srila Prabhupada, his most prominent disciple. But even the whole approach is very different. It was very much among serious practitioners, it was a bhajan-oriented movement. That you do your own bhajan and you get purified. It wasn't that there wasn't preaching, but the There were meetings and discussions, but there was no preaching spirit in the or particular emphasis on that, as he emphasized it. And there was a lot of rascaldom in the name of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There were some kind of attempts to bring Gaudiya Vaishnavism into the modern world, as there were various attempts to bring Hinduism, for want of a better term, into the modern world, with the, well, the Arya Samaj wasn't so much, that was a reformist movement, but it wasn't so much trying to conform to the modern world as to get back to what Dayananda Saraswati misconceived as its roots. Then there was the Brahma Samaj, who conceived themselves as being different from a new kind of religion, which is not really supposed to be Hindu. They call themselves non-Hindus, but practically they took all their ideas. Well, it was supposed to be some kind of mixture of Hinduism with the good things of Christianity, because anyway, it's a long, big discussion. Hinduism, the Brahma Samaj, and this Ram Krishna mission, which took up the idea of mission, do good to others, Manava Seva is Madhava Seva, feed the poor and open schools and hospitals and all this kind of thing. Then this was mostly taken up by these Brahma Samaj and Ramakrishna mission was mostly taken up by the more educated classes, and then there were the Karta Bhajas, who were very prominent in Bengal at that time. And incidentally, this Namahata, which Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he founded, it was all in the language of the Karta Bhajas had already started all that kind of language themselves for their own religious mysticism. The idea of they refer, because the word company was a common word in India at that time, meant the East India Company, British East India Company. And they said, well, we're starting a new company. The company which they sarcastically referred to as the Gosais, the caste Goswamis who had taken over who were dominating. The Brahmin caste in general, both Smarta and Vaishnav and Shakta, who were dominating Bengali Hindu religious life, they said, well, we're starting another company. That company's corrupt. We're starting our own company. That's the Sahib Company. The Sahib Company means the East India Company. And we're the Garib Company, they said. We'll just... So like this, it's a whole history. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the symbolism that which he incorporated into the Namahata was to a large extent borrowed from the Karta Bhaja. So it was a real kitchery of all kinds of... It was definitely a time of social reform, and things were changing because largely due to the British impact, and apart from the British political reforms and bringing in British education, the whole impact of modernization with trains and factories and opening up trade to England, colossal social impact. For instance, the whole weaver class of Bengal found themselves with their thumbs cut off so as not to compete with the Manchester factories. So, I mean, there's widespread changes. So it was a time of great turmoil. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted to spread Krishna consciousness, but he wanted to reform that first also. Reform means to it's all become broken apart, to reform it. Or revolution means to bring it back to the original point. So one of the points that he railed against repeatedly was the idea of just go away and do your own bhajan. He said, no, you should preach. And this idea that you do your own bhajan and then people will worship you as a great devotee. He saw that fault, that most of the people who wanted to become a Babaji, they were doing so for the sake of name and fame. And in many cases, they would have illicit relations with women, and there was a whole new jati in Bengal, the Boshtam. It means they're born out of the union between Vaishnav Babajis and Seva Dasis, which means Tamils, they can't understand. Seva, you know the word? Sevai in Tamil. And Dasi means, it means a maidservant. So in Gauriya Vaishnavism, the idea is to become a Seva Dasi of Radha. That's the main aim of the Sampradaya. The main thrust of the Sampradaya is toward that. So there are a class of Seva Dasis who they became servants of the Vaishnavas. But they served in such a way that a whole class of children were born out of wedlock. So these Seva Dasis, they were mostly young widows who hadn't been thrown on the fires. That was prominent in all over India, but especially in Bengal, it was the normal thing to do. When the man died, the woman had to enter the fire. So the British stopped that, and so what happened to all the widows, especially the young widows? Well, they became religious, but many of them produced children. So it was scandalous. The term Vaishnav and Vaishnavi, that was considered some kind of insult to call someone a Vaishnav. It's the lowest class of person that could possibly be. What a situation. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he had to take some strong measures. I mean, there were attempts to, apart from the Brahma Samaj and Ram Krishna Mission, among Vaishnavas in Bengal and Orissa, which is culturally very close anyway, there was an attempt to rectify Vaishnavism even before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, with many men from educated backgrounds joined that. They became Babajis. In most cases, they weren't dissolute. They were practicing strictly in many ways. They renovated so many, and they had so many holy places connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his pastimes. They took over the management, in other words, and restored the, such as the, let's see what I can think of off the top of my head, the place of Narottam Das at Keturi, the place of Lokanath Goswami in Joshur in Bengal, Egg Chakra, the place of Nityananda, Boranaga, Varahanaga, just north of Calcutta, then at Panihati, that came later, then Haridas Thakur Samadhi, and many of their followers were scholarly, they wrote books and this and that, but they had a new mantra, Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham, etc. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very much against them. They were doing reform, but they didn't know their limits. what to change and what not to change. You don't change the Maha. Well, they didn't change the Maha Mantra, but they relegated it to japa only, not to be chanted loudly, according to them. So this large-scale reform was necessary for re-establishing the Sampradaya and to effect its widespread preaching. So this song, I'll go through this. Vaishnava Ke, it's titled Vaishnava Ke. Who is a Vaishnava? And it's addressed to oneself and through oneself to others. Dushtaman, the first words, Dushtaman, very, very good start. The mind is wicked. Outside it may look very good. Outside may look like a Paka Vaishnava with all big tilak, big mala, and big belly. Well, big bad, yeah. It's required for a big mala. So, big devotee in all respects. But what's in the mind? A big pile of garbage. So, the first thing addressed, Dushtaman, rascal mind. We should start a new policy. If anyone's cell phone goes off, just go. Don't stay here. Don't stay. Get out from this assembly. So, wicked mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Tumi kise Vaishnava? If you understand the Bengali, it's more incisive. You can feel it more. It's tumi kise Vaishnava. That may be in Bengali, that may often be said. Well, in English you can say what. I remember once years ago in Tamil President's meeting, one GBC was, I came up to a group of us and said, what kind of Tamil Presidents are you? It's a challenge. You're not acting properly in your position, you know. You're expected to exhibit certain qualities, or certain responsibilities that you have to, that are expected of you. If you don't do it, then you may say, what kind of town president are you? What kind of Vaishnava are you? So the same thing in Bengali. Kishe. Tumi kishe. Kishe. Sometimes they don't pronounce the R at the end. Kishe Vaishnava. What? It's a challenge that you're not proper. You've taken that position, but you're not acting as is proper. Pratishta tore near jane ghare tabo hari nama kevala koita. This is Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, really very strong. It's a real, really heavy condemnation. Pratishta. To accuse a Vaishnava of acting for the sake of pratishta is a very strong condemnation. But that's what he does in this whole poem. Pratishta, for the sake of pratishta keliya, you'd say in Hindi. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out this nishidacha kuti nati jibe hingshan lab puja pratishta jato upashaka gone. He says that the weeds which stifle the creeper of devotional service are prominently on the gross platform, not acting according to the regulated principles, then there is kutinati, kutniti, this diplomacy, not acting straightforwardly. Then jiva hingshan, this cruelty to other living beings. That can be gross, as in the case of most of the so-called Vaishnavas in Bengal who eat fish, Bengal and Orissa. And it can be subtle also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that to stop the preaching of Krishna consciousness, that is the worst kind of jiva hingsa. So that can... And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is talking, he's not talking about gross materialists here, he's talking about persons who are supposed to be devotees. Then, La Puja Pratishtha. These are often quoted together among Bengali Vaishnavas. I had several years of experience of moving among what we might call the traditional Vaishnava communities in Bengal. So these terms, many terms from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavad, which are in Bengali, they're just incorporated into the regular conversation of Bengali Vaishnavas, because it's so well known. So you may say, oh, he's doing that just for pratishtha, or la puja pratishtha, or these three words are often quoted together. There are many like that. People in the course of conversation will just include some terms from Chaitanya Charitamrita or Chaitanya Bhagavad, or may just say the first few words of a verse, and then it's expected that people, Jodi ama pratishneho thake, you may say that, and then you're expected to know the rest of it. So it's like that. That's the culture. And we see in the followers of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also, they would often... That was just not among pundits anywhere, not just in this, in any sampradaya. When they talk, they'll quote this, that from some shastra, this, that, and the other. It's a normal thing, but that culture is largely gone now, because they may quote and they may joke. There's this very nice narration that Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Swami, there was some conversation among himself and some of his senior godbrothers on some point. I can't remember what the point was. That's not the important point here. And Sridhar Maharaj was winning in the discussion. There was some discussion over some shastric point, and his point was prevailing. So, Paramananda Prabhu, who was among the first three disciples and one that stayed, among the first disciples, he was the one who stayed all the time with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just at the end of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's manifest pastimes, he left the mission to get married. So he said, Sridharam Shakalam Veti, quoting a verse. Sridhar knows everything. He said it in a joking way, but somewhat facetious way. Sridhar knows everything. And then Sridhar Maharaj said the next line of the verse, Sri Nrsimha Prasadanat, by the mercy of Lord Nrsimha. So these are two lines taken from a verse. Aham ved nishuko veti vyaso veti na veti va sridharam sakalam veti Sri Nrsimha Prasadanat, that I know. Shuka knows, Vyasa may know or may not know, but definitely Sridhar knows everything, meaning Sridhara, who is the commentator, the first commentator on the Bhagavatam, who was a worshipper of Nrsimhadev. So he knows everything by the mercy of Nrsimhadev. So then this was quoted, Sridharam Sakalam Veti. Oh, you think you know everything. And then Sri Nrsimha Prasadana. Yes, but by Nrsimha's mercy. Yes, I know everything, but by Nrsimha's mercy. Like this. So we can just imagine the level of discourse. Sridhar Maharaj also said that when he first visited the Gauriya Mutt and Ultradingi Road in North Calcutta. Now North, now it's central, but at that time it was North. The city's grown. So he was amazed that in this materialistic city, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was sitting there and discussing on the Upanishads. He couldn't imagine that in the... Nowadays we expect if there's to be any such discussion, it'll be in the city. Or maybe in Udupi or Tirupati. But the pundits, they're here in South India, they're in Udupi, Tirupati, and Bangalore, and to a lesser extent, Chennai. And maybe here and there. There may be a few. I don't know. They're not in, here and there at Sri Rangam, there must be some, and this place of Raghavendra Swami, what's that? Mantralayam. You'll find here and there. Years ago when I was traveling, I took a tour, I took a few devotees on a tour of some holy places around Tamil Nadu, and this Sanskrit Ananda from Baroda came with us. And wherever he went, he would find, because there were temples, he would speak with the priests in Sanskrit. There was always someone or several who spoke in Sanskrit. At the installation of the deities in Tirupati, ISKCON Tirupati, a few years ago, the Sri Vaishnava priests were speaking in Sanskrit among themselves for some reason or other. And they just like to do that, I guess. Maybe because some were Tamil and some were Telugu, I don't know. Usually in Tirupati they speak both. Anyway, we're getting off subject here. So, La Puja Pratishtha. It's a great indictment. That here's someone who's completely renounced the world and they're going away for the sake of serving Krishna. You say, you're just doing that for name and fame, that's all. It's a very strong accusation. And then you're chanting. He's sitting in a cottage, completely renounced, chanting all day, and that's all cheating. Whew. Heavy, heavy indictment. Why? Because in your mind, now he'll analyze what is what is the nature of them, the attitude of people who are doing this. So, continuing, reading of Vaishnava K. Who is a Vaishnava? Verse 2. Jare Pratishtha. The prestige of in the material world. Later in the next verse, after two verses, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur will talk of Vaishnavi Pratishtha. That's a different kind of reputation altogether, but mundane reputation. Shukare Bishtha, like the stool of a pig. What could be more disgusting than the stool of a pig? Even the stool of a Brahmin is disgusting. What to speak of the stool of a pig? The stool of a Brahmin is disgusting, and the pigs eats it, and out comes the stool of a pig. So it's just, if you can think of anything more disgusting, let us know. It's just at the at the bottom. They're thinking it's something. People will see that I am very high and very pure. Thinking like this is very low and very impure. What could be more impure than the stool of a pig? So if someone's thinking, let me do bhakti and others will notice and praise me, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur indirectly he recommends, better you get some pig stool and rub it all over your body. Then at least it'll be clear that you're in a very low and a very disgusting and impure position. Whereas if it's just in the mind, inside the dushtaman, the wicked mind, then it's not recognizable. Outside pure, inside pig stool. So he recommends, if you're going to have pig stool in your mind, you might as well have it outside, or it's just the same. Jare pratishta, shukare bishta. No mincing words, that's an English saying. Mincing words means to put things politely, euphemistically, to soften the tone. Very straightforward there. Shukare bishta. Jano na ki taha mayar bhav. Don't you know that that's just the that glory and that greatness that people will praise you, that's just the glory of illusion. It's illusory. It's offered by maya. It's nothing, got nothing to do with bhakti, with pure devotional service. Don't you know that? Supposed to be a Vaishnav, Kisha Vaishnav. What kind of Vaishnav? You don't understand these things? Kanaka Kamini Dibosha Jamani Bhavya Kikaj Anitta Sheshab. Day and night, mind, you're simply thinking of women and money, or Kanaka Kamini. Gold and Pungschali means the kind of woman who incites lust, lusty women. So I heard this in Vrindavan in 1976, that Srila Prabhupada, who was present there, had said that if you think you can go to Radha Kund and simply sit and chant and do nothing else all day. Because several devotees, they came from the West, and then they came to Radha Kunda and they thought, oh, this is so nice. And of course we should understand Radha Kunda is so nice. And so it'd be very nice just to sit here and chant. If I go back to the West, I'd have to go out and distribute books among all these horrible people. And it's very tough and difficult. But this is the real thing. We should just sit here at Radha Kunda and chant. Srila Prabhupada commenting said that if you think you can do that, you'll simply think of women and money and fall down. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he says that you're sitting peacefully away from the samsara fuka. Bhaktivinoda Thakur calls that the pandemonium of material life. Shongshara fuka kane na poshiba. I won't hear any of that anymore. So says if you think you can go very very peacefully, but in the mind, dushtaman, outside you'll be chanting tavahari nama kevala kaita, cheating chanting, and inside the mind you'll be thinking of women and money. Day and night, Divorce Jam. Those who are doing this Nirjan Bhajan, they're supposed to be day and night, 24 hours engaged in simply chanting and bhajan. Bhajan means various activities in devotional service, maybe worshipping deities, maybe chanting verses. Among Gaudiya Vaishnavas, be a lot of chanting, especially japa, jop, dibhosha jamani. Then, bhavya kikaj, what are you thinking of? This is all temporary. To understand that this material sense and enjoyment is temporary is preliminary, it's pre-Vaishnava, it's kindergarten. Vaishnava is not, to be a Vaishnava, it's not, the direct concern is not with the nature of this world. The direct concern is with the nature of Krishna and the spiritual world. So that's preliminary. But don't you understand this? And that's, we can see the importance of stressing these points. And you say, well, why? Because you're a Vaishnava, you don't need to stress all these points. Just chant Hare Krishna. But that's the point. Who is a Vaishnava? Vaishnava ke. One can take up the practice of devotional service, but one is still attracted. Bhavayacho, kikaj, anitto eshab. What are you thinking about? What are you doing thinking about all these things? It's all temporary. So we need to be reminded of these things constantly. It's not so easy to be a Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada said this when he was discussing Varnashram, and devotees said, well, aren't devotees above Varnashram? Srila Prabhupada said, it's not such an easy thing to be a Vaishnava. Not so easy. So, Anitta Eshab, Tomar Kanak Bhoger Janak. Your gold, your money, that is simply meant for material sense gratification. Tomar Kanak, your gold, Bhoger Janak. It is literally the father, or that which gives rise to, the progenitor of material sense enjoyment. Kanake dare shevaha madhava. The proper thing to do if you get money is to serve Madhava. Madhava means the husband of Lakshmi. So, if one has money, then one should use it for serving the source of all wealth. But if we think I will use it for my own enjoyment, that is not a Vaishnav principle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Jodi thake bahudan, tabe hao akinchan, Vaishnava kara upaka. If you have plenty of wealth, then be detached. Don't think I have anything. Understand, I don't have anything. It doesn't belong to me. Then one should serve the Vaishnavas, perform activities beneficial for the Vaishnavas by that wealth. So, Tomar Kanak, I think it's my money, my money. You see, people are coming and giving me money. I'm sitting here and chanting and people are coming and offering so much money. But no, it's not yours. That's meant for serving Madhava. Kamene kam nahi tava dham. The desire for desirable women and desire-inducing women, nahi tava dham. You're not meant for that. You're supposed to be a Vaishnava. You're not supposed to be interested in all these things. That's not a Vaishnava. That will be discussed later. Actually, who is a Vaishnava? All these things about who is not a Vaishnava. Taha Malik Kevala Jadava, only Jadava, Krishna, he is the owner, or he is the proper proprietor of all wealth and all money. Krishna has all wealth and all money, but he has no mundane lust and no mundane greed. Whereas if we get a little money, we think, oh, now how can I enjoy it? What shall I do to it? And any opportunity to associate with women, then we think, how to enjoy? But Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. The objects of enjoyment, they're meant for Krishna. especially as Yadava, in Mathura and Dwarka, Krishna is known as Yadava. In Vrindavan, he's not known as Yadava. So, Dwarka, he's openly the husband of 16,108 wives, and tremendous opulence, tremendous wealth. So that is all meant for Krishna. Nothing for me. Idam Narayanaya, idam namama. In the sacrifice we offer it. This is for Narayana. It's not for me. So our whole life is meant to be a sacrifice. Offer ourselves into the fire, the seven-tongued fire of Sankirtan. We don't have anything. Then, Pratishtasha Taru, Jara Maya Maru, Napelo Ravana Jujiya Raghava. Ravana, he fought with Raghava, Rama. He thought he would become glorious by doing so. But he didn't get fame. He got infamy by doing so. He remained famous, but infamous. That's yash apayash, kirti apakirti. So, apakirti, that's one kind of kirti. There's akirti, it means not to be famous. But apakirti means to be infamous, to be famous as someone very bad. Here in Tamil Nadu, there are some attempts to cast Ravana as the good guy and Rama as the villain. The Aryan came from North India and attacked the Dravidian, Ravana. But actually, Ravana was also Rishiputra. He was Brahmin. So the members of the Dravidian movement, they shouldn't praise Ravana. He's the son of a rishi. He's one of those caste Brahmins. So, in this Jaramaya Moru, in this desert of the material world, there's nothing desirable here. Apakirti. So, it's poetic language. The tree of desire for reputation, but that cannot properly grow in the desert. This whole material world is a desert. So, Vaishnavi Pratishtha, that is real Pratishtha. The Pratishtha, the reputation that accrues to a Vaishnava. Here, Vaishnavi, it doesn't mean female Vaishnavas, it means it's the word Vaishnava is being used as an adjective. So, Pratishtha is a feminine word. So, when the word Vaishnava is used adjectively in conjunction with it, it changes to the feminine form. Vaishnavi Pratishtha. The fame that accrues to a Vaishnava. Tate Koronishtha. Put your faith in that. Put your attachment should be for that. Taha na bhajile lobi be rorav. If you don't worship, if without putting one's faith and attachment in the reputation of the Vaishnavas, then even though we perform devotional service, we'll simply go to hell. We either have to be attached to the reputation of a Vaishnava or the reputation of a Ravana. That doesn't mean that let me try and be famous as a Vaishnava. That's the whole point. One shouldn't try for that. But one should worship the great devotees. That will be discussed later. Madhavendra Puri. How he became famous, but without desiring it. So, Harijana Dvish Pratishtasha Klesh. One problem that comes from the desire for reputation as a Vaishnava. Let me be famous as, let people worship me as a great Vaishnava. Is that this mundane desire, it sprouts up as in the desert, the thorn tree sprout, the cactus that grows. So this symptom of someone who's interested in mundane reputation is that they become envious of others, inimical toward others. If someone is interested in being honored by others, then he becomes envious of others if they are honored. Well, why is he being honored? What about me? Why all the importance is, why you give so much importance to him? I'm also a great Vaishnava. I'm a better Vaishnava. There's in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, in the delineation of the glories of Srila Haridas Thakur, there is a narration of how a snake charmer was doing his thing, playing his music for the snakes to dance to, and Haridas happened to be in the vicinity, and he started dancing in love of Krishna. And all the people present, they recognized, oh, he's a great devotee, and they praised him. Then one Brahmin who was present, he thought, why is this low-born person being praised as a great devotee? I will also dance, and then people will praise me. He was envious of Haridas Thakur. But the snake charmer who had showed great respect to Haridas Thakur, because he was in Avesh, he was overtaken by higher spirits, which directed him to understand that Haridas Thakur, he is a great devotee. So the snake charmer had offered great respect to Haridas. But in that absorbed mood, the snake charmer started beating that Brahmin, which was a pretty radical thing to do in a public place, start beating a Brahmin, especially when he's exhibiting religious ecstasy. So the people asked him, well, how did you respect Haridas and you physically beat a Brahmana? I mean, it's usually only Muslims who do that. And he said, because he's just imitating for the sake of... He's not actually absorbed in ecstasy. He's simply imitating so that people will praise him. This is most despicable. So, if one desires, I will be noted as a great devotee, then he becomes envious of those who actually are great devotees. And if there's anyone lower than him in rank, he becomes envious of them. Yeah, you stay down there, don't come up. If you do anything, all the credit has to go to me. Otherwise, don't do anything. So this attitude is a result of this desire for name and fame. It's very bad anartha, from which other anarthas grow. So, Koro Kene. Koro keno tobe taha gaurav. Yeah, you you're envious because the Vaishnavas are respected. Why are you doing that? Boishta, what kind of reputation the Vaishnavas have? Boishtava pache pratishtasha ache. Now that they've put it behind them. Everyone in this material world has desires for reputation, but the Vaishnavas, they left that behind. You're still thinking how I can be respected, but who's a real Vaishnav? They left such thoughts behind. They're actually on a higher platform. They've come to a better platform. They're not thinking in such a low class way. Let me be honored. This is childish. The Vaishnavas, they simply desire to be known as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. So, Boishtave Pache Pratishta Cha Ache Tate Kobu Nahe Anitta Vaibhav. So, the reputation that comes to a Vaishnava, that is, it's nothing, and it's not in the same category at all as that of the mundane persons who desire to be recognized. Is it completely different? Neither they desire it. Neither they desire fame. And when it comes to them, they don't wallow in it, or they don't gloat over it. Even though highly recognized and respected, a Vaishnava thinks himself very low. Uttam hoya apanake mane tunadham. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that even if one is a highest level devotee, he thinks he's very low, thinks himself lower than grass. So it's again talking about the mind. The mind of a pure Vaishnava is completely pure, and it's very different to the mind of a materialistic person in the garb of a Vaishnava. A materialistic person in the garb of a Vaishnava may in many ways appear to be a Vaishnava. He does what Vaishnavas are expected to do. But in his mind he's cultivating material desires. So he's, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Not really a Vaishnava at all. That's the answer. So, Shei Hari Shambandha Shunna Maya Gandha Taha Kabu Noi Jarera Koitav. In the relation that a devotee has with Krishna, it's completely devoid of any trace of illusion, of Maya. So that can never be this, in that cheating propensity of mundane consciousness. It's never there. It might be in, it's there in the attitude of the false Vaishnava. But in the pure Vaishnava, there's no such thing. It's a completely different consciousness. Pratishta Chandali. This, again, comparing the desire for reputation to this Chandali, which means the very lowest class of woman. And Raghunath Das, he also says that this desire for name and fame, he's given these two, he's given some analogies. One is that like a very low class prostitute, and he's also compared to donkey's urine. So nothing desirable. You should understand it's not desirable. So pratishta chandali nirjanata jali. This going away to chant by yourself, jali is like a trap that we fall into. Network of delusion. Ubhoye janaiho mayek rorav. So that's just hell. Either of these things. The two things go together. The desire for reputation and the trap of thinking I shall go away and I shall be a very great Vaishnav, just living on my own. These are two, you should know that these two are just hell given by Maya. Kirtana charyabo pratishta makibo. I will give up kirtan. Now, those who do nirjan bhajan, they may come together time to time and do some kirtan together. But in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, here by kirtan he means preaching Krishna consciousness. So kirtan charyabo pratishta makibo. This stool, the pig stool of name and fame, I will rub it all over myself. Ki kaj dhudhya tadrisha gaurav. What are you looking for? What are you trying to get in that kind of name and that kind of respect? That kind of pride? What do you want? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What do we want? Do we really want Krishna? Do we really want to surrender to Krishna? Or are we cultivating desires for name, fame, and glory? So, Madhavendra Puri, the example is given. Madhavendra Puri. The example is given of Madhavendra Puri because he never desired name and fame, but it came to him automatically. He simply desired to serve Krishna. He was actually living a nirjan life. He was just wandering here and there. He didn't mix with anyone. He wouldn't even beg any food. Ajachitabritti. He wouldn't beg anything. If someone brought him something to eat, he'd take it. Otherwise, he would just fast. He didn't want to mix with anyone. He was just absorbed in love of Krishna. But then when he got the order from Krishna to establish a temple for Krishna, then he mixed with everyone. And then again Krishna sent him from Rajamandala to Puri to bring chandan, sandalwood, for treating the overheated body of Gopal, the deity Gopal. So he went, and on the way, when he reached Rimala, because that's the nowadays the train line from Delhi, Mathura, goes through all the jungle, and what used to be jungle, Jharkhand, and then goes down to Puri. But in those days, the easy route would be to go along the bank of the Yamuna, and then from Prayag along the bank of the Ganga, and then you'll come down through the Bhagirathi, or you might cut across through the Radhadesh of Bengal, and then you come along the coastal route, because inland it's in between Mathura and Puri. If you want to go in a straight line, it's more or less all hills and jungles. At that time jungles, but now hills at least, all the way beginning from Bundelkhand and then that whole area, and then you come to Jharkhand. It's a long way around, but you're going through, always there'll be Brahmins and the whole of Jamuna and Ganga, it's all holy places. So every place on the bank of the Yamuna and Ganga is all. So you'll go through all of that and then you'll come down, and then on the coastal route, because just at the coast of Orissa, it's the land is flat, whereas inland, as soon as you go a little bit inland, it's all hills again. So he went along this route and he came to Madhavendra Puri, came to Ramuna. Where there's the whole story of how he got the pot of kheer condensed milk. He got this in the deity Gopinath stole for him. Stole? Well, it was offered to him, but he didn't give it back. He stole the pot for him. And this became... So Madhavendra Puri, when he knew that the pujari in the middle of the night brought him the pot of kheer, and he knew that in the morning he would tell everyone, and then he, Madhavendra Puri, would become very famous, he left in the middle of the night. He didn't want to become famous. He avoided it. So this example is given of Madhavendra Puri. He avoided that. But he went on to Puri, and the story by word of mouth went ahead of him to Puri. There was some amazing happening. So he didn't avoid going to Puri. He wouldn't have gone to Puri if he didn't have to. He didn't want to go because people would praise him and respect him for being manifestly such a great devotee that the Supreme Lord stole a pot of kheer for him. But anyway, he had to go to Puri because he had to go there to get the chandan. That was his service to do so. So he accepted the praise of others when it was unavoidable in the course of his service. Otherwise, he wasn't looking for it. Madhavendra Puri Bhavagora Churi. He didn't steal from the storehouse of Bhav. It's sarcastic and poetic language. In other words, the great devotees like Madhavendra Puri, they have name and fame and reputation for their actual advancement in devotional service. And someone, by imitating them, wants to get the same level of respect. They're a thief. That name and fame and glory properly accrues to great devotees such as Madhavendra Puri. And someone who wants to get the reputation of a great Vaishnava without actually being a great Vaishnava, just by imitating a great Vaishnava, he's stealing. Stealing from the storehouse of Bhav. But you can't do that. If you think, well, I'll show the symptoms of being a great Vaishnava. I'll cry and fall on the ground, roll on the ground. But in the heart, what is it? Dushtamam. The mind is very wicked. There's no real bhav. There's no real feeling for Krishna. Just an imitation. Then, that is stealing. Trying to steal from the storehouse of love of Krishna. Just by imitating the great devotees, we don't become a great devotee. So Madhavendra Puri Bhava Ghare Churi Na Karelo Kabhu. He never did that. He had actual bhav. He didn't go and try and steal it or imitate someone. Na Karelo Kabhu Shadai Janibo. You should know very well. He should always know this, always consider this. And Jana. Madhavendra Puri wasn't a fraud. He's the real thing. But Toma Pratishta, but your name, fame, and glory, Madhavendra Puri is definitely famous, but your name, fame, and glory, Shukore Bishta, again he says, it's just like the stool of a pig. Ta Shaha Shama Kabu Namanav. So that translate here. Kobunamanov. No, I think I have to retranslate this. I'm not very satisfied with that translation. I would say that means that something as bad as this isn't. It's not even seen in human beings, what to speak of great devotees. It's lower than the level. It's lower than even normal human level. Because even humans don't, even mundane people, they don't rub themselves with, smear their bodies with pig stools. So you're doing that, you're not even on the level of a human being. Can you make a note of that? Verse 8, I'll retranslate that. Matsharata boshe. You're under the mind, the wicked mind. The first duty of a transcendentalist is to control the mind, but your mind is controlled by matsarata, which is a synonym of dvish, bad feeling to others, envy. Tumi joro rosha, you're imagining that you're in this, you're imagining that you're in this high level of prema bhakti rasa, but it's just mundane. Your so-called rasa is just mundane. Mojecho charya kirtana shoshtav, the actual kirtan, which is shoshtava, means beneficial, very first class, excellent. So you're absorbing yourself in mundane rasa, giving up the real kirtan, which the real kirtan is, the kirtan ras comes from trinadapi sunichena tararapi sahishna amanina amanadena kirtaniya sadahari. One who has that attitude of considering oneself lower than a straw in the street, who is more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer respect to others, doesn't want respect for himself, such a person can actually relish kirtan rasa. Others may relish some rasa in kirtan. It may seem that they're such wonderful kirtan. Oh, so much rasa, but it's all mundane. As long as the desire for any kind of enjoyment other than that of service to Krishna is present, then the actual bhakti cannot take place. Bhakti mukti spriha yavat pishachi hridi vartate tavat bhakti sukhasyatra katam abhyudayo bhavet. As long as the witches of desire for gross bodily sense gratification or for liberation from this world are in the present within the heart, then where is the question of actually experiencing the enjoyment of bhakti rasa? It's not possible. So these are lessons. Tai dushtaman. So, rascal mind. Nirjana bhajan. This, just going away for the sake of your own bhajan. Pracharicho chale. Kujogi bhaibhav. So this saying, this Nirjan Bhajan is very great. That is taught, that is preached as, it's a kind of the whole, from beginning to end, it's just a cheating method. It's just a ruse. And it may look very good and something very great, what a great devotee, but it's the glory that accrues to a kuyogi. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defined kuyogi as a false devotee devoid of character. One thing about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there's no halfway with him. If you think, well, what he says is okay, but these others, who are, they're not so bad after all. He doesn't say they're not so bad. He says they're very bad. Prabhu shanatane param jatane shikidalo jaha chinta sheshab. So just the instructions that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami, you should, with great attention, very carefully, consider all of that. Very important section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanatan Shikha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sanatana Goswami covers about four chapters of Chaitanya Charitamrita. All the Shri duti kota bhulo na sarvata uchai sore karo harinamara palgo falgo ar jukta bodha ar mukta kabuna bhaviho ekakasha. So do not in any circumstances forget these two topics. There are two sets of topics. Falgu and Jukta. This refers to renunciation. Falgu Vairagya is the false renunciation of people who want to renounce the world, but they want to renounce Krishna also. So such persons there that they don't recognize the relationship of things of this world to Krishna, and therefore they want to go away and leave the world, like these Nirjan Bhajana Anandis. They want to leave the world and just for their own peace of mind and happiness, sit in a peaceful place. So they're similar to those who mumukshu, those persons who are interested in impersonal liberation. How does that verse begin, Falgu Vairagya? Prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastuni mumukshu bi parityago vairagyam phalgu khatyate. Persons who consider everything in this world to be only mundane, not understanding its relation with Krishna, and therefore they reject it all because they're interested in liberation from this world. Their renunciation of rejecting everything, that is called falgu, or meaningless renunciation. So, falgu or jukta, yukta vairagya, means that one sees everything in relationship with Krishna and engages it in Krishna's service. So what's the beginning of that verse? Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjataha nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagya muchyate. When one sees everything in this world in relationship with Krishna and uses it in Krishna's service without being personally attached to it, that is called proper renunciation. So one should know these terms. One should never forget them. Falgu or Jukta, Badha or Mukta. What is the difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul? What is the difference between the conditioned state, the bound state, and the liberated state? One should never equate the two. One should never think that the yukta vairagya of living in a comfortable place and looking after the body so that one can preach Krishna consciousness and building big temples. One should never think that this is something mundane and simply living alone in a straw hut. That's really advanced. So one should not think this. One should know how Krishna can actually be served. Kanaka kamani pratishta bhagini chari ache jare sheto Vaishnava. So the question, Vaishnava ke, who is a Vaishnava, is herein answered. Who gives up money conceived as bhogera janak, money for sense gratification, and women for sense gratification, and the tigress of worldly prestige, who gives that up, they are a Vaishnava. She anashakta, she shuddha bhakta. Such a person is not attached to this world. Such a person is a pure devotee of Krishna. Shangshatata Pai Parabhav. And such a pure devotee, he conquers over this material existence. Not by simply going and hiding away from the world, does one become free from it. One is still within it. But one conquers over material existence by actually becoming a pure devotee of Krishna. Actually, at least 1 year, in the very early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada had his disciples, there were just a handful of them at the time, each of them write an offering for the Vyasa Puja of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Then I believe later they started writing offerings for Srila Prabhupada himself. But first of all, they wrote in praise of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we got the answer. Who is a Vaishnava? There are many definitions in Shastra. Here's one given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It's the preliminary qualification. It's not the full and complete combination. But unless we have this qualification, we can't be a Vaishnava. Konaka Kamani Pratishta Bhagini Chariache Jare Sheto Vaishnava. Who's given up the desire for woman and wealth, and the desire, the tigress-like desire for name, fame, and glory, who's thrown that out, such a person is a Vaishnava. So, verse 12, Jata jogya bhog nahi tata rog anashakta she ki ar kohibo. So, if one enjoys jata yoga, yata yoga in Sanskrit, Bengali pronunciation, jata yoga, in a suitable way, a fitting way, a proper way, then he doesn't get diseased. That bhog, the word means enjoyment, and often refers to eating food. We say Govinda bhog means the offering, food offering to Govinda. There's one quality of first class rice available in Bengal called Govinda bhog. There's also a sweet, milk sweet, called Govinda bhog. So to be enjoyed by Govinda, Krishna. So, that gives the idea of consuming. Bhog, that gives the idea of consuming or enjoying. So if we just eat what we need, you don't get sick. So, here that's the general position from what can be understood for all the senses. If we indulge them just as much as is required to keep body and soul together, just as much is required for performing our service in this world, then we don't become victimized or infected by bhavarog, the disease of birth and death. That's what's... Yeah, the translation is somewhat fluffed out here. One who partakes moderately of worldly things deemed necessary for performing bhajan is indeed detached. Anashaktase. A person who takes what or utilizes the objects of the world as much as he needs, no more. Such a person is non-attached. So there are two sides. A person who overly indulges for sense enjoyment, such a person is diseased. But a person who takes less than he needs, so that and to try to become renounced, such a person is also not properly situated. one who takes just who tries to control the mind and senses just by withdrawing. Actually, that's said in Gita, Kurmo Nangiva Sarvasha. One withdraws the senses from the sense objects. So one who takes that literally, that one does, okay, stop eating, stop seeing, stop feeling, smelling, touching, tasting, just be, then you become impersonal, become detached from everything. But we're not supposed to become detached from Krishna, and we're not supposed to become detached from Krishna's service. So the things of this world are to be engaged in Krishna's service. Anasaktasya vishayan yataham upayunjataha. Nibandha Krishna sambandhe. Seeing the relationship with Krishna. Everything's to be engaged in Krishna's service. But prapanchikataya bhudya hari sambandhe vastuni. If we see everything, all these things which are meant for Krishna's service, if we see, oh, that's just material. And then that's not real detachment. That's misunderstanding. That is some kind of detachment, but it's based on a misunderstanding. To become yukta vairagya is to be attached to that which we should be attached to and detached from that which we should not be attached to. So we should be attached to Krishna and Krishna's service. We shouldn't be attached to enjoying this world. But the Falgu Vairagi, of which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he equates the position of the Nirjan Bhajanan, or the one who wants to go away and just chant and not have anything to do with this world. He sees the position like a Mayavadi. He sees them as being similar. Because he doesn't know that everything has a relationship with Krishna and should be used in Krishna's service. So he renounces that which should not be renounced. Now you may say, well, what about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? He was a Nirjan Bhajananandi. Yes. That kind of Nirjan Bhajananandi, that is glorious and worshipable. But imitation of that is not. He showed the standard of what is actual detachment from this world in the service of Krishna. He showed that. One who has that inner spirit, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he lived in the same way as Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj for several years, completely detached from this world in the same way. When he apparently came into this world, he came into Calcutta and lived in a mart and lived in opulence. He didn't abandon this spirit of detachment from enjoyment, but he utilized everything in Krishna's service. So, anashaktoshe kiyar kohaba. What more is there to be said about this? That is it. That's it in a nutshell. That one should this yukta vairagya, asakti rahit, sambandha sahit, vishoisha moha shakali madhava. So this is a paraphrasing of this anasaktasya vishayan, that one should be devoid of attachment to this world, but one should maintain one's relationship with Krishna. Again, not just renouncing everything, including Krishna. And knowing that all the objects of this, all the senses and the sense objects, they're meant for serving Madhava. So to give it up is an offense. To say, I'll just be so detached that I won't serve Madhava. All these money, kanak, kamani, women, money, or you can use that, but you can take it, but use in the service of Krishna. To totally reject means to reject Krishna's service. Shri Yukta Bhairagya Taha Tosho Bhagya Tahai Jarete Hariya Bhaibhav. So, this is referring back to the previous verse, which is a description of Yukta Vairagya, and saying, yeah, this is Yukta Vairagya, this is proper renunciation. And that is, who has got that, that's a great fortune to come to that platform. To have the platform of using everything in Krishna's service, that's great fortune, not going away from the world to avoid the world. In this regard, there's an anecdote that two of Srila Prabhupada's disciples were at the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan. And they were in a mood of devotion, appreciating the beauty of the Lord. And one priest at the temple, seeing this, he said to them that, "Oh, you have such devotion. So I bless you in your next life. You can be born in India as a Brahmin and worship the deity of the Lord." So these two devotees went back to Krishna Balaram temple, Srila Prabhupada's temple, where Srila Prabhupada was staying at the time, and they recounted this to Srila Prabhupada, who said that you can go back to that priest and tell him that because of your devotion, you can get the blessing that in your next life you can be born in the West and preach Krishna consciousness all over the world. Different way of looking at things. So this is the fortune. And persons who are interested in vaibhav, pratishtha, who are interested in reputation, they should know that within this material world, the actual glory of Hari is manifest in the devotees who have this Yukta Vairagya. So he's speaking a lot here about Yukta Vairagya, rather than just trying to leave the world and go away from it and do bhajan. That point, by the way, about Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, I just covered very briefly, but in a lecture fairly recently, I did speak on that in some detail. Or did I write about it? I know I wrote about it. About how Gaurakishore Das Babaji's contribution to the parampara, it wasn't that he just, his whole contribution was not only giving initiation to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but he demonstrated what is complete detachment from the world, that manifest detachment. It might not be easy to see in someone who lives in luxury for preaching. So if you're going to be detached, then be detached like that. Not in between. Not that you're very renounced, but you're fond of attending the Malpur Mahotsav, as Babaji's often are. So we're told. So, Sejukta Vairagya is very fortunate to attain to this position. Kirtane jaha pratishtha shambha taha shambhati kevala kaitav. But the supposed kirtan of those who do it, thinking that they will gain reputation by doing so, what do they gain? Simply cheating. It's all cheating, just cheating. So that brings us to the point, because generally he's using in this usually, or very often Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur use the word kirtan in the broader sense, in a broader sense than is generally used, to mean glorification of the Lord and particularly preaching Krishna consciousness. So if one runs away from the world thinking, "I will become a great devotee by doing so," and people will recognize that, and then I'll enjoy being recognized. That is one kind of cheating. But if one preaches Krishna consciousness also and thinks, I will be recognized for doing so, that's another kind of cheating. So in any way, the desire for recognition is it's a great obstacle in devotional advancement. And on one side there's the kanaka kamani, gross material enjoyment. And on the other side there's apparent spirituality but with ulterior motives. So practically Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was warning, we're not just talking some historical analysis here, but we can see practically in our movement also that although this movement has tremendous potential to spread all over the world, but it's hamstrung by these attitudes, people thinking that how they can enjoy the property of Yadava. It may not be for gross sense gratification, but for living, at least living comfortably. It may be for living very opulently also. On the other side, there's the wanting to be recognized, position, power, control. So either way, when personal motivations come, then the actual preaching stops. There may be preaching. Many people holding big festivals and having lots of followers and lots of money and all this, but unless there's the actual spirit of service without any personal desire, then it's not the real thing. And we find that supposed to be devotees, they're fighting among each other over position, prestige, money, power, area, territory. It's like territory. It's like, you know, the animals, like one lion has a territory, and if the other lion comes in the territory, they'll chase them out, they'll fight them, or a dog's territory. If you come in the dog's territory, they'll bark, don't come here. So like that, my zone, get out of here, you're not allowed here. So this mentality is, it's not just something in the past. This poem is a warning to all devotees at all times. These warnings. If we actually want to preach Krishna consciousness, we can do so with a pure heart, not with a dushtaman, not with a wicked mind. Of course, the mind is wicked, but it becomes purified by preaching. But if we undertake preaching knowing that we have a wicked mind, but we undertake preaching as a service for purification, then we can become purified. But if we undertake it with the idea of my own glorification, then we'll never become pure. We can neither purify ourselves nor others, and then we have we develop whole sampradayas of spiritually challenged people. They talk about we have visually challenged and vertically challenged means you're very short, and orally challenged you can't hear properly, and so spiritually challenged apparently the big Vaishnav Churamani, greatest Vaishnava, but it's all on the wrong basis. There's no actual Krishna consciousness there. You can spend their whole life fighting like cats and dogs, and they think it's Vaishnavism. Fighting among themselves. It's not Vaishnavism. So, Mayavadi Jan, Krishnetaraman. I'll try and explain it in English, but the Bengali is... it's just captures it very nicely. Mayavadi jan Krishnetaraman. Actually, there's no such thing as Krishnetara. Itara means something other. So, Krishnetara means thinking in terms other things than Krishna. But there is nothing but Krishna. So, to see, to have the vision that there is anything but Krishna, or to try to banish Krishna, that is Krishnetaraman, Dushtaman, another kind of Dushtaman. There are varieties of wicked minds. Actually, it's all the same thing. All come Krishnetara. They want to see no Krishna. So the Mayavadi, they think they are highly advanced spiritualists because their idea is to empty their mind. So they empty their mind. And first thing they throw out is never Krishna was there, but any chance of Krishna entering, they reject that completely. They're Mayavadis. They don't like Krishna. Mayavadi jan Krishnetaraman mukta abhimane she ninde vaishnava. Thinking themselves liberated, they blaspheme the Vaishnavas. Vaishnava dash tava bhakti ash keno bar dakicho nirjana ahava. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur sees the flavor of Mayavad in this Nirjan Bhajan, going away from the world. It's what the Mayavadis do. Leave the world, considering it all to be Maya, just leave the world, without seeing its relationship with Krishna. So the Mayavadis, they blaspheme the Vaishnavas, just like Prakashananda Saraswati blaspheme Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Murka sanyasi eha, nija dharma nahi jani. Why, he's a fool. He's not supposed to be a sannyasi, just a fool. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do as a sannyasi. So, in the same way, the supposed Vaishnavas who go away from the world to just chant, they blaspheme the real Vaishnavas who are in the world performing the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his servants, which is Jare Deko Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amaragya Guru Hoyatara Edesh. So in the purport to that verse, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that if one thinks, oh, I'm such a great Vaishnava, I'm above the position of initiating others, he condemns that mentality. He says that this mentality should be given up. I'm such a great Vaishnava. I'm not on such a low level that I'm initiating others. I'm detached from the world. One should give up such a mentality. In other words, one should be a guru, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. So if one gives up the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Vaishnavas, who are in his disciplic succession, then it's like being a Mayavadi. So you're supposed to be desirous of bhakti. Then why are you making a big hullabaloo about all this nirjan, nirjan, nirjan? You want to be a servant of the Vaishnavas? Then do what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Amar agyai, on my order, be a guru and deliver this world. So, one more verse and then we'll have a... over to others. Je Falgu Vairagi Kahe Nije Tyagi. One who is a false renouncer or an insubstantial renouncer, he says about himself, I'm a Tyagi. I'm a renouncer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke about that, about the what are the duties of the Vairagis. He instructed Raghunath Das, and Raghunath Das asked him, what am I supposed to do? I renounce the world, what am I supposed to do now that I've renounced the world? So, one who renounces without knowing how to renounce and calls himself a tyagi, she na pare kabu hoite Vaishnava. Such a person can never actually be a Vaishnava. His identity, he identifies himself more when he thinks of himself, this is the abhiman. Abhiman means one's self-conception. It's usually used in a bad sense. Abhiman means usually identified with ahankar. But there's also Vaishav abhiman, which means to conceive of oneself, to identify oneself, to think of, when one thinks about oneself, how does one identify oneself? What is our parichay, our identity? One thinks of oneself as a servant of the Vaishnavas. But when one thinks of oneself, I'm a Tyagi, I'm a renouncer. That is, one conceives of oneself first and foremost as a renouncer, then he cannot be a Vaishnava. Because a Vaishnava's identity is as Krishna Das, servant of the Vaishnavas. So, one's duty is to serve, not to renounce. If the order is there to renounce, then one may renounce. But the service is one's identity. I've renounced everything. But that's not our dharma, that's not our identity, that's not our duty. We're meant for service. So, such a person who has this insubstantial renunciation or false renunciation, he thinks, I'm very renounced. Okay, you're very renounced, maybe, but you're not a Vaishnava. Hari Padachari, you're renouncing the lotus feet of Hari. Nirjanata Bari, Lobhya Ki Fal Falgu She Bhaiva. So you're sitting in your little house, all alone, being renounced, but practically what you've done is renounce the lotus feet of Hari, because Hari says to serve him by preaching. So if you give that up, then what does it mean to be a servant of Krishna? To serve his order. So his order is there to chant, but his order is there also to preach. So what do you get? What do you gain from all of this? Rhetorical question. What do you get? The glory and the reputation, the vaibhavya, what do you get? It's all, like your vairagya, it's all falgu. It's all insubstantial, meaningless. Alright, verse 17 of Vaishnavake. Radha dasye rahi. Remain in the service of Sri Radha. This is Girihari Gopinath was just saying a few table of con. I mean, this is a. Whew, like, it's just. Radha Dasya Rahi, remain in the service of Radha. Just. In three words, it's going through a little chink and entering an unlimited universe. These are the teachings of Srila Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur. It's all meant for Radha Dasya. Such a huge topic. What is his actual teaching? He gave some indications of that. Hridaye Bolila Keba Dayata Dashera Sheva. Gopidana Kata Kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that his service, he said that someone spoke in my heart that the service of Dayata Das, this means Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, is Gopi Dhanna Kata Kirtan, to broadcast and glorify the wealth of the gopis. So that it's anyway, I have discussed it somewhat here. Gopi Dhan means Krishna, and it means Swarashiki Siddhi. Their own, each individual devotee's personal propensity or perfection of serving Krishna in their own unique way, which pleases Krishna. Every living being is unique and pleases Krishna in a different way to every other living being. That's, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He enjoys his unlimited ways. They're unlimited personalities and they're all different and they all please Krishna in different ways. And that Swarasakhi Siddhi, that is the Braja Gopi Dhan, that is their wealth. How can we serve Krishna? What shall we bring him? We'll bring him ourselves. Be yourself. Yeah, but be yourself doesn't mean some idiot in the material world. It means to uncover, to discover one's personality in the service of Krishna. And in Krishna, and Krishna means Radha Krishna. So Radha Dase Rahi. This is a huge Radha Dase, that means, that indicates also following Bhaktivinod. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's made up of Bhaktivinod. Everything he did and said and endeavored for is all in the service of Bhaktivinod. And Bhaktivinod, who is he? Servant of Radha. Amitor, what is that? Amitor Radhika Pakkapati Shoda. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I am always on Radha's side. I'm in her group. So big topic, big thing. Radha Dasi, remain in the service of Radha. Chari Bhoga Ahi, give up you want to give up something, you want to give up, you want to be a big Tyagi, give up the snake, the serpent of material enjoyment. Pratichasha nahe kirtanagurav. The glory of kirtan is not meant for the desire for reputation. They're completely different things. Devotee who is preaching, he wants pratishta. He should desire pratishta. Wait a minute, we're just saying the opposite. Yes, Krishna's. Let Krishna be glorified. That is the meaning of kirtan. That Krishna should be glorified. Not that I should be glorified. Radha Nityajan Taha Charim Man Keno Ba Nirjana Bhajana Kaitav. So that we are the eternal followers, servants of Radha. So Dushtaman, wicked mind, giving that up, why do you accept this cheating of so-called Nirjana Bhajan? We're not supposed to be Nirjan, we're supposed to be Radhajan. Radha, he's Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what's that about you? He's Radha Nijajan. He's personal associate of Radha. So Nirjan, what is this Nirjan? Nirjan means just me. Me, me, and me. Brajabashi gan pracharakadhan, which literally means that the Vrajavasis, the residents of Vrindavan, that means the actual residents, that means Nanda, Yashoda, Radha, Gopa Gopigan, they are the wealth of the preachers. They are the treasure of the preachers, their service, their remembrance, the aspiration to serve them. Pratishta bhikkhuk tar nahi shava. But one who is going here and there as a bhikshuk. This word is used as for tridandi bhikshuk, a sannyasi who is a beggar. So a sannyasi begs just to benefit people. But one who is begging others, please recognize me. I'm going to all this great endeavor, just begging you. Begging means with a very strong desire in my heart. Please recognize me. Please give me honor and glory. So such a person, he can never be a resident of Vrindavan. That's not possible. Such a person is a shav, he's a corpse. He's spiritually dead. Maybe very active in the world, but spiritually dead, a zombie. Prana cheta she hetu pracha. The Vrajavasis, they have life. Therefore they preach. Because they have Vrajavasis, they're alive, they're not dead. Therefore they preach. Their preaching is not from the platform of desire for prestige. Pratishta Shaheen. Krishna Gatha Shab. So they simply glorify Krishna because they have life. Life means to be alive means to serve Krishna. Actual life means to serve Krishna. Because they have life, they naturally glorify Krishna. That is actual kirtan. That comes from a pure heart. That is possible, actual glorification of Krishna, when one has no personal desire. It just automatically springs from the heart, because the heart is alive with love of Krishna. Sri Dayatadash Kirtanetayash, Dayatadas, Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He not pratishtasha, not the desire for prestige, but the desire for kirtan. In other words, he's got life. That desire is in his heart. He is alive. He is a Vrajavasi. Oh, then we come again to Bhaktivinoda. Again, we come to Narottam. They both sing in their songs. About how to be a Vrajavasi, how to serve the Vrajavasis. So whatever one acharya he contributes, it develops from what previous acharyas have contributed. It's within the context of that. So when we understand different words, just like this term prem, it's very important. It's essential in, particularly in Gaudiya theology. It's a central term. We don't hear it. If you go to, for instance, here in this area, Sri Vaishnava is prominent. We won't hear them. Do you hear them? They say the word prem? No. They'll speak about prapati. That's their main thing, taking shelter of the Lord. But that's so different words. This word prem. So we have to understand. But we understand that in the context, particularly of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's discussed there, what is prem. And then acharyas, subsequent acharyas, they have developed that more and more. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the summation of all the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and teachings. So, Kirtanate Ash, Karo uchai shore harinama rab. Chant loudly the holy name of Kirtan so others can hear. Don't lock yourself away. Now you, bhava garachur, you're a thief. You got the treasure of harinam and you take it and run away and don't give it to anyone else. It's meant for distribution. Chant loudly so others can hear. Kirtan prabhave smaran swabhave shekale bhajana nirjana shambha. So the Nirjana Bhajana Nandi, they want to have remembrance of smaran, means constant contemplation on the pastimes, not just on the pastimes, but one's particular role. But Saraswati Thakur says, by the power of by performing this kirtan, then such smaran Smaran Swabhavi, automatically that will awaken within the mind, and then in that situation, this Nirjan Bhajan is actually possible. So, Siddhant Saraswati, he was performing Nirjan Bhajan, inasmuch as he was detached from the people of the world. But he was among them also for preaching. So that preached by service, the mercy by which one can actually remember Krishna, that awakens. So this is extremely profound and requires another, at least one, a volume at least this size to analyze all of this. So I won't try and do it now. Such deep topics and important topics. Controversial topics. Controversial in as well, it was highly controversial at the time. That's what I said. Our understanding of Gaurīya Vaiṣṇavism is changed to what it was at that time. The external manifestation and practice is to a large extent changed. That's a fact. We don't deny it. But that change is there to effect the mission of Chaitanya Mahāprabhu. Hare Krishna. So in discussing the glories, the vaibhav of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati this morning, it's pertinent to remember that this evening we have a major preaching program. Small town, big program. So that's a very suitable way to celebrate this remembrance festival of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. As Srila Prabhupada wrote in one poem which he offered in glorification of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that simply to offer fruits and flowers, that doesn't constitute the totality of worship. Fruits and flowers, that is required for worship, but that's not all in all. One can best serve him by serving his mission, by preaching Krishna consciousness. So how shall we preach? We shall learn from him and his representatives. We have to preach Bhakti Siddhanta, nothing else. There's no use to preach anything else. Anything else, as he taught us, Bhakti Siddhanta is to understand that anything that then bhakti is not only useless but a great harm. Any kind of mercies that does not give the mercy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is actually harmful. That's mandodaya daya. That is mercy that gives rise to harm. For instance, if we feed a hungry person or treat their bodily injury, and we may think we're doing them great benefit, but or we may have an eye camp to restore the vision of people, but that's actually doing them harm because first of all, they think that this is beneficial, but it's of no ultimate benefit. If we don't come to Krishna consciousness, then we have to suffer birth, death, old age, disease, and repeated bodily discrepancies. And if our senses are restored to their proper functions, but we have no information about how to use the senses in Krishna's service, then by using the eyes and using the strength we get from eating, we'll indulge in sense gratification and set ourselves up for more suffering. So it would have been better to be blind rather than to... And now I can see again and again watching all the nonsense, rascal things on television. So it's not good to be blind, but simply by removing a cataract, one doesn't actually see. Real cataract removal is Ajnana timirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Seeing, having the power of spiritual vision restored. That's actual seeing. Seeing in the darkness is not seeing. It's not actual. So if we're in illusion, we don't actually see. So all attempts to do good for others devoid of Krishna consciousness, that actually does them more harm than good. We can't actually help. The very idea that we are helping increases the illusion that there's something to be had in this world. So real helping is chopping technique, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Just have this chop, just chop everything. There's Krishna and everything else, just throw it out. Chop it out, throw it out. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his mercy is Amando Dayavadaya. The mercy which does not give rise to anything bad. We may do good for someone is hungry, okay, feed them, chop up some goats. You told me recently one man, big man in Velo City, celebrated his 70th birthday by sacrificing how many goats? 120 goats. 100 goats to 110 goats to where? Which deity? Oh, they weren't sacrificed. They weren't, no religious sacrifice. They were just killed. A feast for his workers. So that means that the goats, they didn't get any mercy. It caused harm to them, and it caused harm to the people who thought it was supposed that they were being benefited, but actually caused them harm because they'll have to suffer. And he thought he was being good, but actually because he has no information of what is good and what is not good, then he'll have to suffer for that. So preaching means to give bhakti siddhanta, to give actual knowledge of what is Krishna consciousness. This indirect trying to flatter people and avoiding the actual issue, this will not actually help others. We have to give them what they really need to hear. The question of what they like to hear and what they need to hear, which should we give? As Srila Prabhupada once said to a man, when he asked him a question, should I flatter you or should I tell you the truth? Don't flatter, tell the truth. But then we have to live in truth also. It is simply talking big words and ourselves living like dogs and hogs, then we cannot preach. Of a highly educated person who came to the mat and he was engaged in menial service. He came as a wanting to join the mission and to. You can do that. There's also the case of one sannyasi who was a Shastric scholar. I never heard of him saying not to study Shastra. But one sannyasi, who was that? He later took sannyasi. He joined, he was already a big pundit, Shastric pundit. And he was sent for learning the explanation of Shastra. He approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and he was sent to a devotee in the garden, Ramadas, who was illiterate, to get an explanation of the essence. Then there's also the narration of Madan Mohan Malaviya, who had so many intricate questions on Vedanta. He wanted to ask Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who sent him to the pujaris. Malaviya, he said that they can't answer. They won't be able to answer these questions. He said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, you go and see them. So when he went to them, he asked the question, said they were busy cleaning the deity paraphernalia. So they engaged him in that also. Said, you come and clean this brass with us. So then he helped in that humble service. And then without asking any questions, he went back to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said that the answers came automatically in my mind while I was cleaning that brass. So, Sivun mukhe hi jivado swayameva spurati yada. Realization comes by the mercy of Krishna when one engages, when one is willing to perform his service, when one is inclined to serve him. So there are several anecdotes there, but I'm not aware of him ever telling, don't study Shastra. That's an imaginary embellishment on this story. Do study Shastra. We should study Shastra. But the attitude with which we study, that should be considered. All right, anyone else want to say anything? All right, then we can chant Hare Krishna.